Mordechai ben Aryeh, Esther bas Baruch, Yisroel Shlom ben Yehoshua Berach, Chaim ben Yisroel Levi, Dvar bas Yisroel, Shel Chaim ben Shabbos Pesachya, Tzvi Hirsch ben Chaim Moshe, Yaakov ben Moshe Yechiel, Nachum Mendel ben Shmuel, Achaliah bas Yosef, Reuven ben Avram Betzalel, Nachum Mendel ben Shmuel, Batsheva bas Pesach Mordechai, Rachel bas Shlomo Yoel HaKohen. We begin on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, three lines up. So the Gemara was discussing the din and the Mishnah of the psul of a get that is written b'mechubar. That's Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir, who says that the ikar of the get is the chasima of the Eidim, so you can't write the get b'mechubar because you might sign the get b'mechubar. B'di'evid, even if you wrote the get b'mechubar, as long as the Edom signed after it was detached from the ground, it's kosher. As Rabbi Elazar holds, the ikar of the get is the ksiva. And therefore he says that you may never write the toref of the get, the names and the date, while the get is still attached to the ground. Midrabanan, you can't write even the standard nusach of the get, the toface of the get, b'muchaber, because you might come to write the Torah b'muchaber. But the Eved, as long as only the toface was written b'muchaber and the Torah was written b'talosh, Rabbi Elazar is machsher. So now the Gemara says, what about the following? Kosovo al cheres shal otzutz nakuv. Let's say you write the get on a clay flower pot, which has a puncture, it has a hole in it. Now we know that with regard to certain dinim, such as halachas of Shabbos, or halachas of Trumas and Maestros, when you have a plant or a tree growing out of a planter that has a hole in the bottom of it, it's assumed to be deriving its nutrients directly from the ground underneath it. So let's say I write my get on such a flower pot. The Gemara says, that's not a problem. Kosher, it's kosher. Even though that which grows in the flower pot is as if it grows from the ground, but writing my get on the flower pot is not the same as writing a get b'mechubar. Why? The Gemara explains, "Deshakel lei v'yahav lei mihala." Because you don't have to perform any act of ktsitsa, of cutting, in between the writing and the giving of the get. Just hand over the entire flower pot to the woman, and that would be a valid means of divorcing her. And therefore, the get is kosher. It's not considered to be written b'muchubar. What happens, though, says the Gemara, al-olesh shal otzitz nakuv. Let's say you write the get on the leaf of the tree that grows in this planter. That's machlokas amaroyim, abay amar kosher, rav amar pasul. What's the machlokas based on? Abay amar kosher. Abay says it's kosher, kapal yamud, chof beis. The same svara. Writing the get on the leaf of the tree that's growing in the planter is not a psul of mechubar, because I don't have to cut the leaf off to give her the get after the writing. I could, once again, give her the whole thing without any act of ktsitsa. And therefore, Abai says the get is kosher. The get is kosher. Whereas, Rava says, pasul. Writing the get on the Allah of the Otzitz Nakuv is pasul. Why? Because gzeira shem yikdom. It's a gzeira, midrabanan. We're worried, says the Gemara, we're worried that you might mistakenly cut off the leaf from the tree, in which case the act of ktsitsa in between the ksiva and the Nesina would passel the get. Mamela, you can't, midrabanan, ever write a get on an Allah shel atzitz nakav. So writes the Gemara explaining Shitas Rava. Okay. Next. Two dots. Atzitz shel echad, v'zroim shel acher. Let's say you have this tree growing out of a planter. The planter itself belongs to one person. What's growing in it belongs to another. So the Gemara now is going to discuss the method of kinyan used to transfer ownership of one part to the other. Because bear in mind that when you sell or transfer ownership over karka, the method of kinyan is either cash, kesef, or shtar, written document of mechira, or chazaka, some act of ownership on the property, tilling the soil, plowing, weeding, etc. When you transfer ownership over a movable item, so you simply hand it over. That's the act of kinyan. So what happens here? The flower pot, the planter, is owned by one. That which grows in it is owned by another. Machar ba'al atzitz la'ba'al zroyim. If the one who owns the flower pot sells his share to the one who owns the tree, kevan shemashach kana. So as soon as the owner of the plant does meshicha on the planter itself, that's a kinyan done on an item that is movable, on an item that is metalplin, and he acquires the atzitz in the process. In the reverse, machar ba'al zroim le'ba'al atzitz, the owner of the tree sells his share to the owner of the planter, well then the tree is considered the mechubar, is considered the karka. If that's the case, lokana ad sheyachzik bizroim. You have to do a kinyan chazaka on that which is growing. Weed the soil, for example. That's how you, the Baal Hatzitz, are kone the Zroim. Third scenario, Hatzitz Uzroim Shal Echad. Let's say one guy owns the entire thing. He owns the planter, he owns the tree. Umachran la'acher. And he sells that which he owns to a third, to another party. So the din is, Hechzik Bizroim, as soon as that purchaser makes a kinyan chazaka on the tree, on the soil, on the karka component of it, kana atzitz, he automatically then is also the owner now of the planter itself, which is the metaltalin. Why? Bezui sheshinim, this is the din of the Mishnah in Kedushin. Nechasim she'ein lahem achrayis, those properties that are metaltalin are niknin im nechasim sheyesh lahen achrayis, can be acquired along with and by virtue of a kinyan performed on karka b'keseth b'shtar b'chazaka. By doing a kinyan on the karka through either transfer of money, giving over a shtar, or a performance of a chazaka, that then enables it to automatically be kona the metaltalin along with it. That's known in halacha as kinyan agav. I do a kinyan on the karka, and agav that, on the back of that, comes the metaltalin automatically, even without any specific kinyan performed on the metaltalin. But if I specify that by virtue of me acquiring the karka, I'm going to acquire the metaltalin as well, I can do so. So here also, you have an atzitz nakov with something growing in it. The atzitz is the metaplin. The plant growing in it, the tree growing in it, is the karka. By performing a kenyan chazaka on the karka, on the plant, you thereby acquire the metaplin as well, which is the atzitz. Hechzik ba'atzitz, but if you do a performance of malacha, of chazaka, on the flower pot itself, that doesn't acquire anything, because you can't do kenyan chazaka on metaltalin. You have to do the chazaka, the maisa chazaka has to be done on the item that's growing itself. That's considered the karka. Next discussion. Nikvo ba'aretz, let's say the whole of the planter is over Eretz Yisrael soil. In other words, you have this flower pot positioned on the border. The location of the actual hole in the planter is over Eretz Yisrael. The nova b'chutz la'aretz, but the branches from which the fruit grow extend over the side of the flower pot over chutz la'aretz. What's the status of the fruit on that branch? Abai amar basar nikvos lin. Abai says, look at the nekev. The nekev is where the hole is. The hole is over Eretz Yisrael soil. that's considered to be Eretz Yisrael. So the nutrients are coming in from Eretz Yisrael. So whatever grows from this planter is considered to be produce of Eretz Yisrael. It's chayav ma'isos midoraisa. Rav Amram says no. Basar nofazim. Look at the fruit themselves. Look at the branch itself. Where is that? That's over chutz la'aretz. It's over chutz la'aretz. That's not chayav and shuvas ma'isos midoraisa. That's Rav. So the Gemara explains. Bida ashrush. If roots have grown through the hole in the bottom of the planter into Eretz Yisrael soil, well, then in that case, kuli ama lo pligi. In that case, everyone agrees that the roots are in Eretz Yisrael proper. Whatever grows from this planter is Eretz Yisrael dika fruit. Ki pligi, what's the machlokas of bayin rava? Whether you go basar nikvo or basar nofo, that's only bida lo ashrush. That's only if there are no roots. There are no roots, just a nekev, that's in Eretz Yisrael, and then nof, the branch, is in Chutz Laaretz. Then we have from a Chlokas HaMarayim, whether you go Basa Nekev or Basa Nofo. That's the Gemara's assumption here. So, the Gemara asks, is that true? Ube de Asher Shlo Pligi, when the roots are extending out into the soil of Eretz Yisrael, then you think everyone agrees that the fruits are considered peros of Eretz Yisrael? But not. I'll ask you a kasha from the following Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shtei ginos zu agav zu. You have two gardens, one over the other. Meaning, imagine on the side of a
slope,
of a mountain, of a hill. So you have one leveled out area is one garden, then the mountain stands higher, and then another leveled out area is another garden. The yarek bein time, but coming out of the side of the mountain, smack in between the two gardens, is some yarek that's growing there. So the yarek extends out of the soil, which is under the higher garden, but the yarek extends over the ear space of the lower garden. So whose yarek is it? At this, like this jagged slope, the ear space into which the yarek extends into is over the lower garden, but the soil from which it comes out of is just below the upper garden. What's the din? Rav Meir says, Shal Elyon belongs to the upper garden, it's coming out of his soil. Rehido Amir, Shal Tachton, it belongs to the lower garden, it's in his ear rights. So here you have a case where the roots are clearly in the soil of the upper garden, and the yarek itself extends over the lower garden. And still, it's a machlokas, whose yarek is it? So, l'chor, that means that in our case as well, if the roots were to extend into Eretz Yisrael, but the branch and the fruit extend out over Chutz La'aretz, l'chor should still be machlokas, where the fruit belongs. And yet, we said before that everyone agrees you follow the roots in that case. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara answers. Hasam kediksani taima. No, pshat in there. In this machlokas, Rav Meir and Behuda, there, it's not exactly parallel to our case here. Because there is a reason why one might argue one way versus the other, a reason that doesn't apply to our scenario. Namely, Rav Meir says, Ma im yirtza elyon litol esafaro ein kanyarek. There, the owner of the upper garden, it would be within his rights to obliterate the existence of the yarek. Just dig out your soil, and there goes the yarek. So it belongs to him. And Rabbi Huda says, Ma'am yitzah tachto l'malos es ginos ha'afar. The lower garden owner, also it's within his rights to obliterate the existence of the yarek. He simply can dump soil on his garden, and there goes the yarek. So therefore, because each garden owner has the right to obliterate the existence of the yarek, Tanaim argue, okay, whose yarek is it? But in our case, with the nekev and the roots perhaps are in Eretz Yisrael, and the branch which has the fruit on it is over Chutz La'aretz, so there, we could still argue perhaps that if the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, everyone would agree that the peros are considered peros of Eretz Yisrael. Back to the Gemara says, Vakati, and still, into Ashlo Pligi, you think there's no machlokas if the roots extend into Eretz Yisrael? Is that true? After all, but Tanya, I'll bring you proof from a Braisa that even if the roots took root, there still is a machlokas where the fruit belonged to. The Braisa sounds like this. Ilan mektsasa ba'aretz and mektsasa b'chutz la'aretz. You have a tree that's partially in Eretz Yisrael, partially in chutz la'aretz. Tevel b'chulem aravan zeh b'zeh tiver Rebbe. Rebbe says, well, the tree is half Eretz Yisrael, half chutz la'aretz. We view every single fruit in this tree as being a mix of Paris Eretz Yisrael and Paris chutz la'aretz. If it's Paris Eretz Yisrael, it's tevel, requires trumas and maisos. Paris chutz la'aretz, it's chulin, no need for trumas and maisos. And every fruit is a mixture of that status, a mixture of tevel and a mixture of chulin. Whereas Rabban Shem and Michal Milomer, Rabban Shem argues in Rabbi, he says, it depends on the location of the fruit. Hagadol b'chiyav chayav, hagadol b'ptur pater. If the fruit grows in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayav. Fruit grows in chutz la'aretz, it's pater. So the Gemara asks, my love, isn't the scenario of this b'ris the following? Nofo ba'aretz u'miktsas. My love, miktsas nofo ba'aretz u'miktsas nofo b'chutz la'aretz. Isn't the scenario we're describing here a scenario whereby some of the branches are in Eretz Yisrael airspace, some are in chutz la'aretz airspace, and we're assuming here that the roots are in Eretz Yisrael. Or alternatively, the roots are in chutz la'aretz, either or. But what matters, we're asking, is where the branch is, where the fruit is. And it seems that Rebbe and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel argue over the status of the fruit that grow from a branch that is either in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz la'aretz. Despite the fact that the roots have taken root in one place or the other, we see that there is no automatic assumption, oh, follow the roots. No, it seems like there's a Chalukas Rebbe and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel what to do when, despite the roots being in one place or the other, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says you still follow the location of the branch and of the fruit. And Rebbe argues. Sigmar responds by saying you can't draw a parallel between this case and our case. Sigmar says, look, no. Miktas shrushin ba'aretz, miktas shrushin b'chutz la'aretz. This is different than the case that we were discussing before. We said before that if the roots come out of the plant or into Eretz Yisrael, then the entire plant is considered to be an Eretz Yisrael dika plant, regardless of where the branch and the fruit are situated. I have a machlokas here? Yeah, because here, the roots themselves are not either all here or all there. Here, the roots themselves are split between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. That's the machlokas. So if that's the case, then why then does Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel say that you look at where the fruit is? If the roots themselves are split between half Eretz Yisrael, half chutz la'aretz, then the Shita of Rebbe is very mistaber, that you look at every fruit as a mixture of chulin and tevel. Why does Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel say that, oh, depends on where the location of the fruit is? If the roots themselves are split between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, then why is he saying it depends where the fruit is? Answers the Gemara, the Mafsik Tsunma. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, we're talking about a case where there is a solid rock wall or a rock that divides and separates the roots that are in Eretz Yisrael and the roots that are in chutz la'aretz.
It says here that it's an underground section of rock separates the roots along the border up to the base trunk. Of the tree trunk.
Right. Right.
Okay, right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, because the roots in chutz la'aretz are separate from the roots in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, Rabban Shimon Will says, okay, so you look at the location of the fruits. This side of the tree, the fruit is Eretz Yisrael. That side of the tree, the fruit is chutz la'aretz. My time is Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say that every fruit is considered a mix of chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, of tevel and chulin? The hadri arvi, because according to Rebbe, since the tree above ground is partially here, partially there, we assume that every fruit also is memela, a mix of tevel and chulin. The Michael Mufika, what's the machlokas? Marsava vir mebabel. Rebbe says that once the tree extends above ground, so now it's a mix of chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the nutrients that were taken from the roots on this side and from the roots on that side mixed together again, and now every fruit is a mix of tevel and chulin. holes. They know the roots on one side, the roots on the other side. The nutrients they take in from their respective sides stay on those on that side of the tree, and the fruits can be therefore distinguished between tevel and kulay. Okay, two dots. The Mishnah had spoken of writing a get on diftera. It was machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira and Chachamim, whether you can write a get on diftera, which is a hide. And the question was that when you write a get on diftera, you can erase and rewrite without people knowing the difference. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira said, it's possible. You can't write on diftera because there might be a stipulation in the get that the Baal says, I only have mind to divorce you if you pay me X number of dollars. And he signs the get, gives the get, then she takes the get and she erases, you know, that sum and rewrites a smaller sum, and then goes to Basin, oh, I'm divorced, here's my proof. And how are you going to know? You can never tell that was erased and rewritten. So Gemara first defines, what does diftera mean? Says the Gemara. Omer b'chir ba'asi mishmei de'ula. Shalosh oros hein. There are three categories of animal hide based on the stage of processing. What are they called? Matzah, chefa, b'diftera. Three different categories. One at a time, the Gemara explains. Matzah means kemashmo, like the name implies. Matzah is the simplest form of bread. No additives, nothing. So to here, it implies delo maliach, there has been no salt added to this hide. But delo kamiach, no flour added to it. But delo afetz, and no gall nuts added to it. So matzah is like the raw stage of the hide before and without any processing at all. Whereas, we might first ask, so why do I need to know if it's matzah or not? Well, it's Tzas Shabbos, because when it comes to determining is one chayv misa for doing a melacha of a Tzas on Shabbos, so we assess whether the amount that you took out from a Shasur Yochet to Shasur Av and vice versa is amount that's chashev. Well, how much of this matzah high is considered chashev? The Kama Shur, how much does one carry to incur a chiyuv? If it's a large enough piece of hide that you can wrap around a small weight, Rashi explains they have these small little lead weights, and they would protect it by wrapping it in hide so it shouldn't get shaven down, worn down, depleted. So if it's enough of a piece of hide to wrap this small little weight, that's considered a piece of hide that has chashivas. You're going to be chayv now for Hatzah and Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, how much is that amount necessary to wrap a small weight? Amabai kiriva, diriva, different Badisa. The smallest weight that they had in Badisa, a quarter of a quarter, smallest weight they had. So if your hide can wrap around that small weight, that's a large enough piece of hide to be considered chashuv, and if you're chayv for the melacha of the Tzas Shabbos with it. Gemara then moves on to the next category. Chayfa, what does chayfa mean? Dimaliyach, it's salted. Below kamiyach, but no flour. Below afetz, no gall nuts. Mahilchasa, what is that relevant for? Once again, Lotzal Shabbos, how much do you carry and incur a chiv of malach on Shabbos? The kamashir, how much is that? Kedanan, as Mishnah says, or kedei lasos kemeya. It's enough hide to wrap around an amulet, that's considered chashuv and yichayv. This is the stage of chayfa. And finally, what does diftera mean? Dimaliach v'kamiach v'lo afetz. It's salted, it's got flour added, but no gallnuts. Mayochasa, it's on Shabbos, with regard to how much is considered chashuv for carrying purposes on Shabbos. Kamashir, how much is that? Kedei lichtov olav asaget. If it's large enough to write a get on it, that's a diftera that is therefore considered chashuv yichayv for it's on Shabbos. So Rashi explains, we didn't even mention here klaf. Klaf is the fully processed end product of parchment made from hide. That's maliach, that's kamiach, that's afetz, it's got it all. These are those pre-klaf stages of processing of the hide. Okay. Two dots. The Chachamim in the Mishnah said that you are allowed to write a get on diftera. So Gemara asks, man chachamim, where are these chachamim? And as Rashi adds, why are they machshir? The svara of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah in the Mishnah is very logical. You cannot write a get on Diftara because it's Dover Shechol is daif. It can be forged. In other words, it can be erased and rewritten without anybody noticing the difference. So why then would Chacham say that's okay? Why are they allowing this? And says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Blasa says, Rabbi Elazar, this line in the Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, the Tana. The Amr, he says, Edei Mesira Karsi. He says that Minatora, all you need to make the get effective is witnesses on the transfer of the get. Meaning, the writing of the get itself is what's critical, and then the Mesira are critical. The signing is not Minatora. And therefore, you always need Edei Mesira Karsi Rabbi Elazar. So if you need Edei Mesira, I'm not worried about the get being written on a davar shiyachol es daif. I'm not worried about the fact that it's written on diftara and someone could erase it and change it. And the Baal said in his get, I'm giving you the get on a condition, give me $1,000, and she's all change it to $10. You know, we're not worried about that, says Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because there's always Edei Mesira. There's always Edei Mesira. The Din is Rashi explains Edei Mesira must read the get before they watch the transfer being made. So if the Baal wrote in the get, I'm giving this get on a condition that you pay me $100,000. And then she erases it afterwards and says, $100. The Edei Mesira will know. They read it the first time. They see now. They say, oh, no, that wasn't the $100. That was for the $100,000. They'll know. So the corner of Elazar, therefore, the fact that it's written in Davar Shechol es daif is irrelevant. Because Edei Mesira are the ones we rely upon. That's the explanation in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Elazar the Amora, saying that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Elazar the Tana. Okay. So now, the Gemara adds, "V'am Rabbi Elazar." Elazar says further, "Lo hichshir Rabbi Elazar el la'alter." This that I just said, that Rabbi Elazar who says "Eidim Mesira Karsi," is willing to be machshir the get, even if it was written on diftara, because the Eidim will always remember if there was a specific stipulation in the get that has been changed. That's only if it's a get that's given and then taken to Beis Din for approval right away. In other words, if the get is given, and then right away she goes to Beis Din to certify her hetzer to remarry and shows them the get, okay, the Edei Mesira will remember in a short period of time, oh, the get said this, the get said that. However, says Rabbi Elazar, Abba Mekana Sayamim, if you're going to give a woman a get written on diftara, then she's going to put it away and she's going to come back a year later and say, I want to get remarried, here's my proof of divorce. At that point, the Gemara says, you can't say, oh, Edei Mesira were there at the time of the transfer of the get, therefore this get is kosher, because then a year later they're not going to remember whether the get said $100,000, whether it said $1,000, they're not going to remember, so you can't rely on them if the get is written on a surface that can be erased and rewritten. And the Gemara explains, Chashim worried, the Mahava Beit Tanav is the Afte. Maybe there was a stipulation in the get that has since been forged, erased, and changed. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Afilu mikan ad asayam. Yochanan says, even if the get was given, and then it was kept by the woman for a long time before she comes to Beis Din, and it was written on diftara, we would still be machshir at a corner of Elazar as long as there are Edei Mesira. Why? Says the Gemara, because the emisa dahav beit nai, had there been a stipulation written in the get, midkar dekiri, the Edei would definitely remember it. In other words, everyone knows the standard nusach of the get. If this get's going to be a yosem and a klal because the guy is insisting on payment of $100,000 for 10 years, every year for 10 years, Edom, look at this, this guy is out of the ordinary. This is out of the ordinary kind of get. They're going to remember the tanai. So we're not worried about them forgetting about it when it's written on diftara and given in the presence of Edom Mesiru. Furthermore, V'om Rabbi Elazar, Elazar says further, V'hichshir Rabbi Elazar, Ela Begitin. When does Rabbi Elazar allow the writing of a get on diftara? Dafka a get isha. Because by get isha, she wants to bring the get right away to get that to remarry. And therefore, the concern that, well, maybe the Edei Mesira will forget what the stipulation was in the get is not relevant because she's going to take it to Beis Din right away. And the Edei Mesira will remember right away what the stipulations in the get were. But other documentations that are, let's say, proof of a loan, proof of money owed, where you hold on to it for a very long time, and then you pull it out years later to prove that you have the right to collect money from this guy, that you cannot write a diftara, says Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because if it's going to be written on diftara and then stored in the safe in the bank for 10 years, then he pulls it out 10 years later, okay, loan is due. At that point in time, no Adam is going to remember what the document said initially. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar Noach, Filu b'shtaras. Rabbi Yochanan says, even by shtaras, Rabbi Elazar allows you to write it on diftara. Why? Iva haksiv man yamzi yam rabin. Says that the shtar has to last a long time. Hasam it's tova kamashlan. That was the pasuk in Yirmiyah giving good advice. But that doesn't mean that that if the shtar is written on diftara and it's not shaykh to last a long time, that therefore it's pasul. No, to get the shtar is kasher, says Rabbi Yochanan, even according to Rabbi Elazar, under these circumstances. Okay. Next Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hakol ksheren lichtav asiget." Anyone is allowed to write a get. Afilu cheresh shota bekatan. Even a cheresh, even a shota, even a katan. A woman can even write her own get, provided that, as we said yesterday, that she gives it to her husband sincerely as a gift, and he gives it back to her. And a man is allowed to write his receipt of payment for the ksuba. Why? Because the ikar of the get is the edim. And therefore, it doesn't matter so much if the woman wrote the get or not. As long as the Edom signed it, witnessed it, and the woman gave it to the husband, and he then gave it to her, that's sufficient, says the Mishnah. Okay. Let's point out one important tosis here, bottom tosis on Amud Aleph. When the Gemara said that the Chachamim in the Mishnah, who allowed the writing of a get on diftara, even though the get can be erased and rewritten, as long as they're Eidim Mesira, it's good enough. So Tosis there says that Dafka, when it comes to a get written on a Dabar Sheyachol is Dayef, Dafka then, you have to bring the Eidim Mesira to allow her to remarry. Right? Now, what's the case here? You write a get on Diftara, which in theory could be erased and rewritten, but because it's Eidim Mesira, and they'll accompany her to Beis Din to prove that they saw the get being given, we're not worried about the get being tampered with. So Tosis points out that when it comes to a get that's written on a material that can't be tampered with, then Rabbi Elazar agrees she doesn't need to bring Eidei Mesira to prove that she got divorced. The Eidei Chasima that are on the shtar, on the get, provide it's not a material that can be tampered with, they would suffice, according to Belazar, to allow her to remarry. That's what Tosis points out here to clarify in this sugya. That's the bottom Tosis' first point on Amud Aleph. Okay. Fine. We'll see more tomorrow with the Gemara discussing this din in the Mishnah of who is kosher to write a get, who is not.